This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this podcast is brought to you by Avalum Health, the makers of the TheraWorks Protect U-Pack. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This podcast will focus on issues around oral health in the older adult. Nearly 20 years ago, in a Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report article entitled Surveillance for Use of Preventive Healthcare Services by Older Adults, an interdisciplinary team postulated that the access of aging adults to both medical and dental care would contribute to their likelihood of healthy later years and influence their long-term impact on healthcare delivery. Dental health mattered greatly and served as part of a public health call to action for all healthcare providers to influence the care of underserved populations, Medicare coverage, and programs for equitable access to services. In early 2017, the Gerontological Society of America convened a forum entitled Developing an Interprofessional Roadmap to Improving Oral Health in Older Adults, with the premise that oral health was an essential element of healthy aging. They proposed, among other things, that the whole person care model included dentistry and dental hygiene as equal players with medical care, nursing, physical therapy, social work, and the like. They considered that the physical exam portion that we medical doctors label HEENT, or head, eyes, ear, nose, and throat, be modified to HEENOT to include oral cavity evaluation. They talked about therapeutic strategies and behavioral interventions around oral health and how all professionals could and should work together in the care of the older adult. The chair of the formed oral health work group proclaimed, "With few exceptions, all dentists will be geriatric dentists, whether they like it or not." I fear that this focus on older adult oral health may come as a surprise to medical providers and even geriatricians in the trenches of care. Do we consider the oral health of our aging patients? What do we know about oral changes that occur with aging and in those elders with higher medical acuity? Is there a need to uniquely consider the older adult oral hygiene in the nursing facility? Is there a role for interdisciplinary care that would prioritize oral health for older adults today? Such important questions, and I can think of no one better to foster their discussion than leader, educator, and specialist in geriatric dental care, Dr. Karen Arsenault. And we are fortunate to have Dr. Arsenault with us now. Dr. Karen Arsenault is the new clinical director of the Geriatric Center Program at Tufts Dental School in Boston, Massachusetts, with goals to enhance the current geriatric curriculum and develop outreach programs in the long-term care setting. She is the treasurer of the Geriatric Council for the Special Care Dentistry Association. She also has a current four-year commitment to the American Dental Association focusing on access to prevention and care. What a perfect guest for this topic. Dr. Arsenault, welcome to AMDA On The Go.
Thank you very much. Looking forward.
Dr. Arsenault, I typically like to start the conversation with somewhat of a historical perspective to set our framework for discussion. In a 2016 meeting on elder oral health hosted by the American Dental Association National Elder Care Advisory Committee, the committee chair said, and I'm paraphrasing, good oral health is vital to overall health, although it has been considered less important than the health of other parts of the bodies. So, some questions to start. How do dental issues in the older adult differ from the younger individual? How has dentistry evolved over time to help guide oral care and promote overall health specifically in the older adult? I know that this is somewhat of a baited question for you, but is there a role for the geriatric dentist today?
Absolutely. Well, since that the Surgeon General's report back in 2000, which referred to oral health as the silent epidemic, and the 2016 meeting on elder oral health, dentistry has seen a growing focus on the importance of oral health and how total health really cannot exist without oral health. We have a much better understanding of oral disease and its impact on physical and psychological well-being, and oral disease really should no longer be considered just a health dental problem, but really a health problem. Some improvements in the awareness for the need for better health in the older population have been achieved, but access to care and oral health disparities among the poor and certain races and ethnicities remain a very big problem. We have established clear goals on how to better integrate oral health with medicine and the healthcare system, but further actions leading to much more measurable results are needed. There are currently multiple ongoing federal initiatives, such as the Healthy People 2020 and the U.S. National Oral Health Alliance. Both have parallel efforts to address oral health issues in this very vulnerable older population. Oral health for older adults need to become, as we've said, really an integral part of the public health benefit programs, such as Medicare and Medicaid. There needs to be a greater emphasis on allied dental professionals. We need much more qualified dental workforce who really has the skills, knowledge, and expertise to work with older adults. Now, you asked how do issues in elderly differ from young adults? Right. Well, there are more similarities than differences when caring for independent older adults. Really, the standard of care, patient management, and treatment is effectively the same as with other adults. In the past, dentistry was about extractions and denture care, but over the years, the prevalence of edentulism, really no teeth, has declined, and older adults are no longer living with the expectations that they will lose all their natural teeth. Wow. This is particularly true among the well-functioning and educated and those with financial resources. So the baby boomers are retiring nearly with a full complement of teeth, and this is in part due to fluoride in the drinking water and having access to much better dental care through dental insurance in the workplace. But what most don't realize is that once they retire, they lose the insurance and have to pay out of pocket because Medicare does not cover dental care. In some states, but not all, Medicaid is available for low-income adults, but pays for very limited services. It is really only when older adults start to transition from being independent and robust to much more frail and needing help, finally, to really being fully dependent, that dental care becomes much more challenging. So the health status of these older adults is complicated by many factors. We have complex chronic medical conditions and multiple comorbidities. They have hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's. We're dealing with polypharmacy, where older adults use several prescriptions and over-the-counter medications. That makes them much more vulnerable to medication errors, interactions, and side effects. And we all know that medications work differently in older adults, and patients show an increased sensitivity to some of the used drugs in dentistry, such as local anesthetics and painkillers. Wow. Xerostomia, dry mouth, is also an adverse effect of the many medications they are taking. Caring for the older adult becomes much more time-consuming because of the results of limited physical mobility. They move much more slowly. Communication becomes more challenging. There are sensory impairments and cognitive deficits. They have usually complex dental needs as a result of years of functioning, accumulated treatment and behaviors, and then issues around decision-making and informed capacity arises in patients with Alzheimer's and dementia. So really the most important aspect of caring for older adults is the treatment planning, is really taking into consideration how these older adults function in their daily environment.
I feel like I'm speaking with a fellow geriatrician, just an amazing summary. As we continue on this line of thinking, especially with regard to the impact of illness, I have to tell you that many years ago when I was a relatively new geriatrician, I was quite taken by a 2007 Journal of the National Cancer Institute article by Michaud and others entitled "A Prospective Study of Periodontal Disease and Pancreatic Cancer in U.S. Male Health Professionals." They found an association between poor oral health and pancreatic cancer, with a 64% increased risk of pancreatic cancer in a cohort of over 51,000 men aged 40 to 75. The article, it changed my view of the importance of oral hygiene in my aging patients and in me. The long-term potential effects from periodontal disease was frankly, after you read this article, scary. And, you know, there's also been years of considerations regarding a more short-term correlation in the pathogenesis of bacterial pneumonia from dental plaque in critically ill patients and in nursing home residents. So the questions for you are, what has been the impact of, you know, this research, these findings for both long-term and short-term on the oral care of the older adult? You know, has the American Dental Association responded? Has the medical profession responded, you know, if at all? You know, I now see the dental hygienist four times a year because of this article. I pay extra to do so. I have the ability to do that. You know, I have to wonder, has this same mentality of mine played out in the general population, especially as, you know, older adult numbers are going to be increasing, as you have already said, over the next 10 years?
Yeah, so basically these studies really show compelling evidence for the link between oral disease and general health. And we've really recognized that the mouth is attached to the rest of the body and it's not a separate entity and is really a reflection and of the systemic condition of an older adult. Studies also suggest that the number of natural teeth are predictors of longevity, and that loss of teeth can signal an increased risk for early mortality. So this really interrelatedness between oral health, general health, and well-being is not a surprise, but it still is often overlooked because we have a very siloed, specialty-driven healthcare system. So often primary care physicians still do not routinely include the examination of the oral cavity. The ADA has led the patient education effort, and the organization has great information available on its website. The providers can access content and materials that they can easily incorporate into patient education. In June, they held their first ever elder care symposium that helped dental professionals better understand the importance of serving older adults, and it highlighted really this oral health issue and how it changes with age and the important relationship between oral health and systemic health, especially with this vulnerable population. Now in August, the ADA Board of Trustees met to review the recommendations from the Council on Dental Education and Licensing to pursue the accreditation process and develop standards for advanced education programs in geriatric dentistry, hopefully leading to the recognition of geriatrics as a specialty.
Wow.
the resolution will be presented and voted on Monday, September 9th.
Wow, this Monday.
So you asked if the medical profession responded. And yes, there is much greater awareness, not only in the medical profession, but among all healthcare professionals, that there is this strong connection. The realization is that we need to move towards a much more collaborative approach in care, again, especially for this population. But there are numerous barriers and challenges that need to be overcome. So we notice that the culture needs to change. Well, there's really a lack of understanding and appreciation of the role of other health professionals. There's a lack of trust in the collaborative process. So most healthcare providers are just so accustomed to assuming total responsibility for their patient that they're hesitant sharing this responsibility with others. In education, there is training for healthcare professionals remains largely discipline specific, with still very minimal interactions and specific training and teamwork. Although this is now slowly changing because we have strict requirements for interprofessional education in our dental curriculum. Mm-hmm. And then communication. Each professional group has different ways of communicating and organizing patient information, and we lack the processes and technology to facilitate this communication. Also, another difficulty is the physical location of hospitals versus private dental practices and how that can affect the scheduling of this team-based approach to patient care. And as we know, we're all extremely busy. We have tremendous workloads, and so there's a lack of time, and it takes a lot of time for these groups to meet and discuss patient care. Also, there's a lack of shared payment strategies and reimbursement codes. Finally, legal issues, scope of practice, and liability issues arise. Can interprofessional care work? Yes, absolutely, and it needs to work. But it will take time to develop and put in place all the necessary processes that will really facilitate this whole patient care.
We will return to our interview after this brief message from Avadam, the creators of TheraWorks. What are you missing to drive better outcomes for recurrent UTI patients, from mounting antibiotic-resistant concerns to unproven over-the-counter remedies? Your options for preventing urinary tract infections in post-acute care facilities have been limited until now. Safe for a variety of urogenital uses and won't contribute to resistance, the TheraWorks Protect UPAC is the safe, clinically proven, convenient hygiene solution you've been missing. To learn more about how the UPAC can become part of your UTI prevention protocols, visit seewhatsmissing.com.
We're having a fascinating conversation with Tufts Dental School's Dr. Karen Arsenault about oral health in the older adult. Dr. Arsenault, in August of 2013, the New York Times published an article entitled "In Nursing Homes, an Epidemic of Poor Dental Hygiene," and described very concerning oral hygiene scenarios in residents themselves with functional deficits who had cavities, broken or cracked teeth, gum disease, retained food, along with a staff who were sadly ill-prepared to provide them oral care. A comment was made that quality nursing home care could be determined by merely looking in a resident's mouth. This leads to a number of important questions. What regular and appropriate assessments should we be carrying out for our complex older patients in the institutional setting? How should staff be trained in providing good oral hygiene? How can we get beyond barriers to care for issues that you've already mentioned, like dementia? Should dentists or dental hygienists be working directly with primary care providers or care teams to help advocate for, better understand older adult oral health issues? And can good oral care practices be standardized in this population? Tough bunch of questions.
Absolutely. But as elderly become care dependent, their oral health really rapidly declines. So individuals living in long-term care facilities have great unmet needs, dental needs, ranging from 80 to 96%, and have three times the rate of tooth decay compared to their counterparts living independently in the community. So nursing home patients have a higher level of candida and staph, leading to higher rates of infection and aspirational pneumonia. Mm. Oral health has become a priority. Everyone knows that residents need care and should get care. But despite the regulations and the good intention, the reality is very bleak. The problems are multifactorial and very difficult to address. There has been a push to update regulatory requirements, surveys, and oversight of nursing homes. So under federal law, nursing homes are required to provide both routine and emergency dental care, but these requirements create tremendous challenges. The high cost of dental care. Who will pay? Reimbursement for the services and time it takes the staff to make the appointments and transport the residents to a dental office. And then at the dental office, who will reimburse for the services provided? Medicare doesn't cover any, and Medicaid only covers a few, so most will have to be self-pay. In terms of staff, the staff needs to be much better trained, and they really should be trained by dentists and dental hygienists who have much more knowledge, experience, and a greater comfort in dealing with these patients. But currently, they are very poorly trained, and there's also a very high turnover rate because of low pay and low job satisfaction. So certified nursing assistants are swamped with other tasks, from having to toilet and feed or reposition the patient in bed, brushing the teeth falls to the bottom of the to-do list.
Right.
And many patients arrive in nursing homes already with very poor oral health after long periods of neglect. Mm-hmm. And today, older adults are retaining their teeth. Dentures were much easier for the staff to clean. Also, some of the residents decline help with daily oral care. They really don't want it, they don't like it, and simply refuse, so staff can do very little about it. Also, staff members don't really know how to cope with the rising number of residents with dementia who resist oral care by either clenching, hitting, or even biting the staff. Dementia is a progressive and permanent decline in several areas of cognitive function that really interfere with activities of daily living. So it is very important to establish dental care programs as soon as a patient is diagnosed. Because in the early stages, most types of routine dental care can be provided with only minor modifications. Dentists should really anticipate, though, that the person with dementia will eventually be unable to look after their own teeth. So all potential sources of pain, acute infection, gum disease, and decay should be restored as soon as possible. And individuals should be encouraged to carry out their own dental daily oral self-care as long as possible. They might need some help, so the caregiver should offer them the brush and toothpaste and show them what to do, but leave it to them to carry it out. In the middle stages of dementia, the focus shifts from more restorative to preventive and maintenance. Appointments should be kept much shorter being less stressful for the patient. And treatment decisions really should be based on the individual's ability to cooperate. It is during this stage that issues around consent to treatment start to arise. As dementia progresses, the person loses the ability to clean their teeth. They stop understanding the need to keep their teeth clean, and they lose complete interest in doing so. It is at this point that the caretaker has to take over. And then in persons with severe cognitive problems, the treatment focuses on maintaining oral comfort and providing emergency treatment. By the end, the person with dementia is often unable to even communicate that they're experiencing dental pain or discomfort. So we need to rely on others to notice and interpret our behaviors. It shows often by a refusal to eat. They frequently pull at the face or their mouth. There is increased restlessness. Sometimes there's moaning or shouting. Even aggressive behaviors start to manifest. Dental and other health professionals are exploring alternative models of oral care, including more expanded duties for dental hygienists and assistants, and the emerging role of mid-level dental therapists. These dental therapists could prove to be especially important in the provision of mobile services that are needed in long-term care facilities and in improving access.
I have to thank you in providing the natural history of cognitive issues and the need for a treatment plan for good oral health. I don't think any of us listening have ever had such a lesson. So thank you. Dr. Arsenault, as has become customary in the time that we have remaining, I wish to be a little provocative with you, but not really. In a July 2019 Tufts Now segment, you were interviewed about elder access to dentistry in the absence of Medicare coverage. You discussed the role of chronic disease, medication effects, and aging changes on oral health, much like you've done for us so kindly now. You discussed the ongoing needs of elders regarding dental care as they retain their teeth, as you said, more today than before, and even their need for care and screening when edentulous, which is fascinating. It seems to me that as we have presented information about the team care needed for elders today, the dentist clearly should be an active part of the interdisciplinary care team discussion, which you've mentioned. You know, historically, the MD-DMD relationship has not been the most pristine, but medical doctors do seek out dentists' help. I think it's mandated. Under some circumstances, for example, cardiothoracic surgeons requesting patient clearance prior to open heart surgery. I could also see dentists working with rheumatologists and endocrinologists. You know, do you foresee an enhanced role for the dentist in the medical care of complex elders, you know, really coming to fruition? You kind of discussed it briefly, you know, but what is the extent and what could you envision that role would look like? You know, not just with the primary care provider, but also for practitioners working in assisted living or nursing home settings. You know, how can we all evolve together in developing purposeful care plans for this older population?
It is absolutely necessary for the dental team to become part of this interprofessional care network in providing whole patient care. Many older adults have complex medical conditions as well as very complex restorative problems such as bone loss due to periodontal disease, caries, and unresolved periapical pathology. They are no longer willing to accept the simple solutions of the past, such as extractions of the remaining natural teeth and the construction of complete dentures. So we really need dentists to better access the treatment needs of these patients. So it is very important for the dental team to become an integral part of the whole interprofessional team in caring for especially the older adults. They have so many complex medical issues and polypharmacy that all need to be addressed, and the different perspectives that can be given to the treatment from the dentist side to the medical side to the social workers and therapists are really needed to provide comprehensive care.
It sounds like it's a work in progress, but very important work that folks like you are doing to help our older individuals. And I'm hoping that I'm able to see the dental world, the medical world come together. It has been discussed for the past number of years, especially by the American Dental Association. It has been a privilege to speak with and learn from Dr. Karen Arsenault. Dr. Arsenault, thank you so very much for spending your time with AMDA On The Go.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
References for this podcast can be found at paltc.podbean.com. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman for this innovation podcast that we call AMDA On The Go.
Support for this broadcast is provided by Avadam Health, the creators of TheraWorks Protect. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM, pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, please email cmd@paltc.org with your name and the podcast's title. Thank you.